Well, as you are very aware, I'm sure no one is unaware of this, it is September. Yeah, it is. Some of you are so thankful it's finally come. Some of you can't believe it's here. I want to push it off. And it's, in a sense, as we probably think across the city today, it's that time of the year when pastors bring vision, right? Or invited to. And that's part of my intention and hope today and over the coming weeks, this month. I hope you've sensed that I've been doing it from day one. And that's what I want for us today, and I hope for much more. I'd be curious what stirs up in you as you hear me say that. That you realize we're at that moment of the year where it's kind of charting a path forward moment. I think for some of you, there's probably a certain excitement, this like, yay, bring it. We're glad to be led into the next chapter. And I wonder if some of us are a little bit weary at the thought of a new leadership, new chapter. We're not sure if we're up to or up for what God, according to the pastor, wants for us. Well, whatever side of that you find yourself, know that my desire and aim and prayer as a pastor is not to present some fresh vision that I've worked up in my office, but to help us attend to and respond to the invitation and the vision of God in Christ. That his vision and his invitation would be what shapes and guides us forward. And so this morning I want to invite us into a text that many of us know, but probably need, as we look into the coming season and year. In truth, it's a passage that I have needed again and again in my journey, and I felt it again this morning as I bowed before God in my living room. A passage I have returned to so many times, maybe you have as well, through which God has spoken to me again and again. Many of us probably know it. It's on the cover, it's a reference to it and the bulletin, so you might already know. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. If you have a Bible with you, I'd love it for you to open with me to the text. It's good for us to know where we are listening to God's word. Hopefully some of us might want to come back to it another time, and it's good to know the address, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I invite you to listen with me to the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read it first from another translation, Eugene Peterson's The Message. Here again, the words of Jesus. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're starting to fall with these words because we need them. We need, on this Labor Day weekend, to hear again the call and the promise of Jesus. We need, as we look into the coming year and years together, to hear again the call and the promise of Jesus. In truth, what Jesus is offering here is what we desire for every one of you, every one of us, what we want to be known for, that we would be a church, a community, who experience and embody the reality of which Jesus speaks, that we would be a people who find rest and life in Jesus' yoke. And this morning, I want to just explore what that means and why it matters. Although once we understand what it means, it will be so obvious why it matters. Because in this passage, Jesus names an experience that is all too common in our day as it was in his day. An experience that many of us know firsthand. That sometimes our faith can make us weary. Not just life, not just the pull of all the demands of everything around us, but sometimes our faith can make us weary. Or to put that more starkly, that men and women of faith can be some of the most exhausted people, some of the most exhausting people, some of the most diminished and diminishing people around. Just this week, as a pastor, I get publications with advertisements for books and curriculums and small group things. And the cover this week on one of these ones that showed up, it's a new book entitled Zeal Without Burnout. It struck me as a book only needed. Well, first of all, a book that some of us need. And yet a book that is only needed in a Christian culture that has come to equate zeal, spiritual passion, with a pathway to exhaustion and burnout. Something is horribly wrong when we equate spiritual passion with a road to burnout and exhaustion. When that is the norm, when that is the expectation, and it often feels like it is, right? Your kid comes home from camp, fired up. Happened to me. Come home from a year in England at Cape and Ray Bible School, and there's burning passion in me. My parents are like, maybe you need a girlfriend, Scott. Take yourself a little less seriously. That wasn't written on my page. But something is wrong when that is the norm, when we have come to equate spiritual passion with a pathway to personal diminishing, burnout, exhaustion. And it is often the case, and it was no different in Jesus' day. Truth is, this is exactly what Jesus was naming as he spoke to his listeners that day in the region of Galilee in Matthew chapter 11. That was the reality of the people Jesus was talking to. They were weary women and men. Women and men made weary not just by the relentless demands of ordinary everyday life, which itself can be exhausting, but by the relentless demands of their faith, the faith they had learned over the years. And in that crowd that day, there were probably some who had taught and modeled this wearying, exhausting faith. And to those people, to all who will listen, Jesus' words ring out, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Another translation says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," right? Eugene Peterson in The Message has it as burned out on religion. And the next breath, Jesus describes by implication their devotion, their faith is being like an ill-fitting yoke that's been placed on them or that they've taken on themselves that instead of enabling them to function and live and worship well is actually crushing them, harming them, disabling them, deforming them in a way that ultimately causes a deep weariness in the soul. Because sometimes it's not just life that makes us weary. Sometimes it's not just parenting young children or older children or our own parents that makes us weary. Sometimes our faith itself can make us weary. Does that sound familiar? Do you know anyone like this? Weary, heavy laden, burned out on religion Christians? Have you ever felt this way yourself? Is this you right now? I know it's been me. I know at times it is me. I know I've sat alongside of many who found themselves in that place. I remember sitting at the front of a church I was a part of years ago with one of the workhorses of our church with this deep fatigue in her heart, on her face, with this deep sense of it's too much, but there's more needed, I gotta go. And this relentless pressure that was killing her. She and many others in those moments know that they couldn't do it, or definitely not for much longer, that it's just too much, that the expectations, the demands, the musts, the shoulds, the yoke of following God as embodied and articulated by their church, their pastor, their parents, their community, or even just internally discerned, is just too much, impossible. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion, weary and heavy laden? Too often that's been me, as I know it's been many others. Which is why I have come back to this passage so often through the years. When I was young, I was not a Bible scripture memorizer. But this is one I seemed to learn really early on as a young Christian, because I needed it often. Drawn to this passage, drawn by the grace and the good news that flow from Jesus' invitation and promise on so many levels. First of all, just the fact that Jesus gets it, to me, drew me to Matthew 11, 28 and 30. That Jesus gets me and you, that he sees and knows the weariness and the burden that is ours at times. When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, something inside of me breathes a sigh of relief. Just like when I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the opening of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Something inside of me breathes a sigh of relief that Jesus gets me. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Something inside of me breathes a sigh of relief that Jesus knows and sees me as I am when I am weary and burdened. And he doesn't just know, but he knows why. He knows that I'm weary, that we're weary and heavy laden because we've taken on the wrong yoke, knowingly or unknowingly, usually unknowingly. A yoke that slowly but surely has pressed us down, wearied us, diminished us, rather than given us life. Our soul is weary because we're wearing the wrong yoke. That's what Jesus says. Now, I want to pause here for a moment to make sure we understand what Jesus means when he uses this word, yoke. I kind of wish Jesus used a different word, because we can easily misunderstand the profound relevance of what he's saying, because according to Jesus, every one of us, we all have a yoke. We all live with and under a yoke. Now, most of us would understand this term relating to something that an oxen wears, right? As something of an animal harness, used as a means of helping two animals work well together, to lighten the load, to keep them moving together in sync. And there's lots that's relevant and helpful for us in that image. But in Jesus' day, rabbis used this word and idea consistently to refer to how one made sense of life with God and the responsibilities that come with it. Jesus' contemporaries often talk about the yoke of the law that every faithful Jew was to embrace and obey. Each rabbi had their own interpretation of the particulars of the law, and that was referred to as their yoke, their understanding of how life with God worked. But it's not just rabbis that have a yoke, a way of making sense of God's ways and life with God, God's desires, God's demands. We all do, don't we? Every one of us wears a yoke. Every one of us lives with or out of a particular center, a God story. No matter how much we've been to church or Sunday school or not, we all live with or out of a particular view of God and how life with God works. And just like with oxen, our yoke can either enable us to live well with God, or it can hinder us, trip us up, cripple us even. And this, according to Jesus, is why many of us are weary. Many of us, because we've taken on the wrong yoke. For me, there have been many yokes that I've lived with, but it's not have, it's do at times. As a pastor, I think for me, I've often lived with this subtle conviction that it's all on my shoulders, that it's all up to me, that God asks and expects me to get it all going and keep it all going and keep it all going well. And with it, as a pastor, for me, I've often lived with this unnamed conviction that I need to meet all the expectations of others, and not just meet them, but surpass them. That this is what God asks and expects of me. At times, my yoke relates to preaching. This pressure, this expectation that I need to stir you every Sunday with this perfect blend of biblical insight, personal reflection, profound pastoral wisdom, all with an effortless winsomeness in a way that challenges and lifts you up. Right? That this is what God asks and expects of me every Sunday. These are some of the yokes that I have found myself wearing, and that just has to do with my work. What about you? In the life that God has given you these days, what yoke do you wear and live under? Maybe your yoke has to do with a certain measure of parental success, however you want to define that, of financial, of leadership proficiency that you feel you need to, must attain, perform, maintain. Maybe your yoke involves a set of rules that you believe God expects you to live by, a certain set of spiritual disciplines that you need to maintain, which determine God's desire to bless you. Or not. Maybe it's a yoke that says you're just not good enough to ever warrant God's affection and attention and care. A yoke, a God story that says you're unforgivable or a failure and God wants nothing to do with you, not until you've got it all together. What's your yoke? As I'm sure you can see, the wrong yoke can kill you, no matter how good it is, right? Because some of these I can list off seem like great things to be led by, and yet they alone, if they become the determiner of the health of our soul and our sanity, they always become an oppressor. Because they don't love us. They don't know us. They're just an ideal we better get to and maintain. The wrong yoke can kill you, your faith and your soul, slowly cutting off your spiritual circulation and leading to a deep soul fatigue and paralysis, or worse. And Jesus knows it. Amen. In his grace, instead of beating us up like we might do to ourselves, he calls us in love, as we are, weary and burdened, to come to him and find rest. This morning, as I knelt in my living room down the road, feeling the pressure of the yokes that so easily can be mine, instead of beating up me up, I heard new Jesus calling me. In love, as I am weary and burdened, to come to him and find rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says. Not to an ideal, not to a set of spiritual practices, not to a fresh resolve to do better and be better this week, not to a measure of biblical knowledge or a principle of self-denial or self-acceptance or self-control or anything else. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me and I will give you rest. Those words alone have been a gift to me at so many points in my journey, stirring me with hope that there is rest for weary people like you and me. Okay, but how? That's the question, right? It's one thing to long for it. It's one thing to hear the offer, the promise, but how? How will Jesus give us rest? How can we, you and I, come to actually experience the deep in the soul rest that Jesus promises? Well, he tells us, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart and you will find rest for your souls. How? By taking Jesus' yoke as our own. That's what he says. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke you've been wearing, it's crushing you. It's killing you. But it doesn't need to be that way. That's what Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, the yoke that he wears, that he lives with, that Jesus lives with and out of. Take my yoke upon you. Not take this amazing, awesome yoke, but take mine. That you and I would experience life in Jesus' yoke. Which is to say that we would know the Father the way the Father does. That we would live our lives, the life God has given us, in the embrace and the knowledge and the trust of the Father. That we would know the heart of the Father and the ways of the Father the way Jesus does. That we would abide in the Father by the Spirit the way Jesus does in the life that God has given you, each of us. That we would trust the Father by the Spirit through Christ. That we would know Jesus' Father as our Father. And that this would increasingly become the center, the anchor, the foundation, the fountain of our lives, our yoke. What an incredible possibility that Jesus says is open to not just Clayton Dugan, but to you. It's not just whoever you want to put on that pedestal of they've somehow spiritually shifted gears into that slot that a few get into. No, Jesus says this is open to all of us. That Jesus wants for all of us. That Jesus offers to all of us. And in case you're not sure if this is actually what Jesus is offering, listen with me to what Jesus says in the verse just before this. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus here talks about explicitly and openly about this intimate knowledge that he and the Father share. This intimate relationship that is the anchor, the center, the fountain from which all of Jesus' life flows. Matthew 11, verse 27. Listen to what Jesus says. Speaking to weary people, he says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son." The Father and Son, for all of eternity, share a unique, intimate, mutual knowing that could be said to be the center of all that is. What a deep and profound mystery that Jesus is revealing to us here. It's hard to imagine something more deep and profound than this. This deep intimacy between the Father, the eternal Father, and the eternal Son, that is at the core of God's life. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. There's this intimate circle. And then Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Do you hear that? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He's saying that he has the authority and the ability to reveal the Father to those he chooses, that he is able to draw others into his intimate life with the Father, to share his yoke with us. And then in the next breath, the one who alone has all the authority and ability to reveal the Father turns to the weary and burdened, to all of us, all who will listen, and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me." Not to an ideal, not to a resolve to get your act together, not to some ethic or simply some discipline or some moral standard. "Come to me," Jesus says. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Come near and listen." You don't need to make this up. You don't need to go out today and think, okay, what does this look like? No, Jesus invites us to himself that he might reveal to us and take us into the life of the Father by the Spirit. Come to me, listen to my words, he says. Watch my life and my death. Let me teach you, let me show you what the Father is like and what he's up to, and you will find rest for your souls, for your whole being. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This word easy, one of its many meanings, is well fitting. Jesus says, my yoke is well fitting. Some of us think about life with God and experiencing or seeking a spiritual passion as somehow being narrowing, confining, pressing. And Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. It is well fitting for you. Rather than being just another God story that will crush and diminish us, Jesus' yoke fits well, so well, empowering and enabling us like nothing else to live and move and have our being as God intended it and as our souls long for, to live the life we were created for together in the trials of our lives, in the love of the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. If you're new with us today or these days, let me tell you right now, this is why we exist as a church. This is why we gather as a community. This is why Lambrook has always sought to gather together. This is what we want for you if you're to join us in this coming season. This is where we want to go together this year. If you've been a part of Lambrook for so long, you're older than the chairs. Let me remind you, this is why we exist as a church. This is why Jesus has called us together. This is where we want to be going together, inviting one another into. In truth, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to become a part of Lambrook, because I have always known that Lambrook has always been a community that has sought to keep this at the center, to take on the yoke of Jesus and no other. We're not here in a hunger for religious habits and practices. We are here because our souls need the yoke of Jesus and our world needs the yoke of Jesus. And this is our story. This is the DNA that God in his grace has given us. This commitment to live deeply in, to pursue the yoke of Jesus, this conviction that Jesus' yoke will give us life, that Jesus is the one who gives us life. And I suspect many of us are here, many of you are here for that very reason. Not because we crave activities on Sunday morning, though maybe it's good to have some social outing on Sunday morning, but because we long to throw off the weariness of a godless life or even a religious life and be led into the life of Jesus. To be a part of a community that will seek to champion this in the lives of one another. Not just you doing this in the midst of us, but us together, standing alongside of one another. I felt it this morning, myself, as I found myself coming back to this text, how much I need not just to be alert to Jesus' invitation to me, but to have other people standing alongside me, helping me throw off the oppressive yokes and take on the life-giving, rest-giving, well-fitting yoke of Jesus. And I suspect you are no different. So if that's what you're after, let's keep going. Wherever we go this year, whatever is to come, I'm going to be praying that this guides us in it. As we talk about what God is inviting us to, as we talk about what it means to walk together as a community in the pursuit of Christ for the sake of the world, we want to do this in a way that is so attentive to how God, how the Father in the Son by the Spirit is inviting us. Not just to slap on more to-dos and more expectations that will beat us down, but an invitation that will lead us into the life of God for the sake of the world and our joy in him. So let me end by reading again these words from Jesus And I want to read it again first from the Message, just because they pull us out of the memorized version that some of us have. So listen with me. I invite you to maybe bow before God and just listen as I read this for us. The words of Jesus, Matthew 11, 27 and following. The Father has given me all things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father-Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself, Jesus says. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me today. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Come to me and I will give you rest for your souls.